नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 29, Text 22, in the matter of explanation of devotional service. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One who worships the deity of Godhead in the temples but does not know that the Supreme Lord, as Paramatma, is situated in every living entity's heart, must be in ignorance, and is compared to one who offers oblations into ashes. Perfect. It is stated clearly here that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His planning expansion of Supersoul, is present in all living entities. Living entities have 8,400,000 different kinds of bodies, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is living in every body, both as the individual soul and as the super soul. Since the individual soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, in the sense the Lord is living in every body. And as super soul, the Lord is also present as a witness. In both cases, the presence of God in every living entity is essential. Therefore, persons who profess to belong to some religious sect, but who do not feel the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every living entity and everywhere else, are in the mode of ignorance. If, without the preliminary knowledge of the Lord's omnipotence, one simply attaches himself to the rituals in a temple, church or mosque, it is as if he were offering butter into ashes rather than into the fire. One offers sacrifices by pouring clarified butter into a fire and chanting Vedic mantras. But even if there are Vedic mantras and all conditions are favorable, if the clarified butter is poured on ashes, then such a sacrifice would be useless. In other words, the devotee should not ignore any living entity. The devotee must know that in every living entity, however insignificant he may be, even in an ant, God is present. And therefore, every living entity should be kindly treated and should not be subjected to any violence. In modern civilized society, slaughterhouses are regularly maintained and supported by a certain type of religious principle. But without knowledge of the presence of God in every living entity, any so-called advancement in human civilization, either spiritual or material, is to be understood as being in the mode of ignorance. Translation. One who worships the deity of Godhead in the temples, but does not know that the Supreme Lord, as Paramatma, is situated in every living entity's heart, must be in ignorance, and is compared to one who offers oblations into ashes. Hare Krishna. One time Krishna was visiting Vidura's residence, and Vidura's wife, whose name I don't know, she wanted to feed Krishna some bananas. So she sat him down, and in her excitement, she was peeling the bananas, throwing the banana to one side, and feeding Krishna the banana peels. And Krishna was accepting those. After some time, Vidura arrived there and immediately started chastising her, that what are you doing? But Krishna was so overcome by the affection, her motherly affection, that he didn't mind. The bhakti, when Sudama went to visit Krishna in Dwarka. Oh, Krishna was so excited that his friend had come and was very excited to receive the dried chip rice, and was even more excited to touch the body of Sudama. Just due to the devotion. When Mother Yasoda wanted to bind Krishna after he had behaved mischievously by breaking the pot of yogurt, she was chasing him all over that courtyard. And she became very tired, very exhausted. She was sweating profusely. Eventually, Krishna melted due to the extreme affection of Mother Yasoda. And he gave up to her and allowed her to bind him. This is what controls Krishna, love. If one thinks just by serving a deity in the temple that he is already attained perfection. But yes, I'm serving the deity here, offering garlands, offering foodstuffs. And yet he does not even understand the omnipotency of the Lord. Certainly the Lord is spread everywhere throughout the material universes as the Paramatma in every atom and between every atom. He is traveling with every living entity from body to body, whether it's a dog or Lord Brahma or the ant or Indra. He's traveling with a living entity as he takes on different bodies, acting as a witness and acting as the advisor. He's also present in the living entity, eternally, even every living entity is always present. And so, a devotee, one who has been fortunate enough to come in contact with the process of devotional service, has to come to this platform of seeing the Lord everywhere. If we can only see the Lord in the temple, then he'll never develop appreciation for the devotees. If he only thinks, oh, I bow down to the Lord in the temple, maybe I bow down to my spiritual master, but I only need to do service to the deity. And he ignores the other living entities. Then yes, he is doing puja. Puja is tantamount to business, a business transaction. I'm giving you this and you must give me your blessings. Seva is what the Vaishnava wants. Seva has no reward. Selfless. Simply, the Seva wants the satisfaction. And in this material world particularly, the greatest satisfaction for the Lord is that we can give the opportunities, all living entities, to engage in the service of Krishna. To get out of the world of ignorance. The one is a separatist, in other words, separate from the personality of Godhead's desires, but simply wants to run on his own desires, that yes, I'm doing this service, I'm doing that service, and I don't need to care about anything else. What I'm doing is all right. Just between me and the Lord. What has God to do with anyone else? And that person is considered to be performing devotional service in the mode of ignorance. He's still a Vaishnava, and we still offer respects to him because we understand that he's somehow on some platform worshipping the Lord. We also understand that the Lord is present within his heart. We understand that he is better than all those millions of other living entities who are not serving the Lord at all, even in this. But his devotional service is not very high. And one should not intimately associate with such a person. It is very dangerous. Srila Sanatana Goswami has said that the pujari should be very hesitant to take what they offer to the Lord. They take anything that should just be a small morsel. They should be anxious to distribute the remnants of the Lord to the other living entities and thus develop a mood of compassion and thus please the Lord very much. And one is simply doing puja and interested to satisfy one's own belly and ultimately his genitals. That devotional service is not of a very high grade. So in our line, it has been recommended by the Rupa Goswami and downstream line that we worship the deity, that we have the temples so others can come and take darshan. But the idea isn't that people just come and stare at the Lord. Of course, they will destroy so much of their sinful reactions. But the heart will not truly change. Their desires will not change to that of only wanting to serve the Lord. When they come to the temple, they should receive the opportunity to engage in the service of the Lord. Engage in the service of the Lord. Otherwise, it's just a dry place of puja. And let us go back to their material activities after having come and done some puja. We must leave this mode of ignorance. The way to leave the mode of ignorance is to first, philosophically, clearly understand that the Lord is everywhere. And when we're causing harm to any living entity, we're causing distress to the Lord. The Lord is traveling with that living entity for one purpose and one purpose only, to turn him away from the material nature, turn him back to his eternal self. So if a devotee cannot treat the living entity properly, who can? Ahimsa. We do not cause harm to any living entity. This doesn't just mean being a vegetarian. It doesn't just mean standing up for different people's rights. But it means that we give people Krishna consciousness. Anything else causes harm. Causes people to continue in this realm of birth and death. Chaitanya is lovely, everyone you meet, please teach them to chant Hare Krishna. Means everyone you meet, but you don't even attempt to engage in Krishna's service in some way, you've offended that person. And ultimately offended the Lord. Of course, all living entities in the material world are not on the same platform. They're in different bodies. And those in different bodies are in different grades. The highest grade is the Brahman. The Brahman is he who knows the platform of the Vedas. And even of those, that person who is a surrendered devotee of Krishna, he doesn't wish anything in return for his service except the satisfaction of the Lord. He's a topmost person. So yes, we treat the different living entities accordingly. But still, we respect all living entities by trying to engage them in Krishna's service. Otherwise we're wasting our time. Jiva Goswami says we can carry on performing this selfish form of devotion for life after life after life. Only interested in my chanting, I'm only interested in keeping my devotional service together. I don't want to be disturbed by anyone. Then why are you in this world? What fool comes to the material world if he doesn't want to be disturbed? It's full of disturbances. Doesn't matter whether you lock yourself up in some apartment or go to some peak in the Himalayas. Disturbance will be there. Aliputi Kaliyatma Kali David. They're everywhere. And you're inflicting pain on living entities. To encourage them that this is not a nice place to be. But the Vaishnavas, they don't see that as the best way to encourage living entities. By simply inflicting pain. They can understand that until the living entity engages in devotional service, he has no chance of getting out of the pain. So we can make no harm to anyone. We don't let anyone miss out on the opportunity of practicing Krishna consciousness. And if we're going to enter into the intimate service of the Lord as His Sevak Pujari, then we should understand the special opportunity we have received. And we should understand what is pleasing to the Lord. Otherwise, what are we doing there? Standing there like a windmill, waving things in front of the Lord. Offering plates of bulgur and thinking, oh, when the Lord is finished, I enjoy this. The Prabhupada from Dhabi became very annoyed with some of the senior devotees. But as soon as he's finished, they were grabbing his plate and eating it all up themselves. Chastise them. No, you distribute this to everybody. And he described the mentality They're thinking that, oh, as soon as the old man is finished eating, he can have this. Tell the cook, you have to cook lots, so there'll be something left over. In Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, when the temple first opened, we were offering such massive plates of prasadam to the Lord. Each plate was so big and heavy, one man could hardly carry it. So this was going on for a few months. Then Srila Prabhupada came to visit, and he asked to see the accounts of the expenses. And he became curious. He said, oh, you seem to be interested in filling up your bellies, offering such huge amounts to the deities so you can all eat very nicely. So from that day he said, no. Even the pujaris, even the cook, does not need to taste the Mahaprasada. And when the temple president of that time asked Srila Prabhupada, but the cook, he needs to see how his preparations come out. And Srila Prabhupada said, if he doesn't know how to cook, then he shouldn't be cooking for the deities. But for some time, all the prasad was being given to outsiders, and whatever was left over, the devotees would get at the end of the day. And myself, I had the unenviable service of enforcing that. So I wasn't very popular at that time. But anyway, Srila Prabhupada insisted this. I asked him very clearly. And he said, no, nobody needs to take. He said, well, how they can cook thinking, oh yeah, this is for me. I'll put this much aside for me. And they're making up the plates for the Lord. How do the pujaris be offering when they're thinking, oh, as soon as it comes up, I fill out my little box. Pujaris also need to take prasad. It should be in the room of being with us. We managed to gain such an intimate service that it was not in the mood of seva, which means becoming a servant of a servant of a servant. Then what is the use? So merciful, there will always be somewhere. However much we have to decide, it always happens. After all, Srimati Radharani is standing there, supreme Lakshmi, Haladhyam Shakti. Nothing can be lacking when she's present. And if it is lacking, because we're lacking in the mood of devotion. To the degree which we're depending on our mundane intelligence, to the degree we're depending on material energy, to that degree we'll find lacking. To that degree we'll find anxiety in our devotional service. So how can we sit down and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, sincerely? How can we cry out to Krishna? How can we cry out to Srimati Radharani that please engage me in your service? If actually all we really want is to to be comfortably situated. So we're asking today, if possible, no one can allow us to be comfortably situated in the material world. Because we've got a material body. How can we be comfortably situated in a place which is on fire? The son of the fools, Lord Shiva, his business is to destroy universes. He's just waiting for the indication from Lord Vishnu. Right, now you destroy. And all the living entities, they lose their bodies. They lose everything. Again, they enter back into the body of Mahavishnu. And again, they come out and attempt all over again. So if one is fortunate enough to come in contact with the bona fide Vaishnavas, then he takes on a great responsibility to help every other living entity he comes in contact with attain some degree of Krishna consciousness. Humans, the animals, trees and birds must all be accommodated. But they're in a body where they do not have sufficient intelligence to understand the philosophy, and they must be given it. Shivananda Sen was given a prasad to the dog and followed along on the party which was going to Jagannath Puri. He considered it his duty to take care of everyone. Because the dog was following along, he considered it his duty to take care of the dog also. He was feeding him prasad every day. And because of the mercy of Vaishnava, that dog got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. This is how it works. The mercy is not yours. Mercy is coming down from the Sampradaya. Once having received it, if we do not pass it on, then it will dry up and will become mundane. The mercy is so powerful that one can attain the lotus feet of Krishna. One can enter into the pure devotional realm of service to Radha and Krishna. And yet, if one is miserly, then his heart will dry up and eventually he will lose that golden opportunity. That was moral ignorance. Devotional service and moral ignorance really doesn't go anywhere. Yes, it's glorified in comparison with the moral ignorant persons who can't perform any kind of service. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, don't associate with such persons. You are so miserly that they are only interested in your own devotional activities. They are only interested in your own facilities. They somehow think that Krishna is mine. It's true. Krishna is mine. But he is everybody's. Say Krishna is mine. And anyone who can understand that Krishna is mine has the responsibility to for everyone else in that position to be able to say Krishna is Lord. This is my approach, my Adam. Full of compassion. This is a compassionate side of Buddha. When the distribution of Krishna playing is going on. The Vrindavan pastimes did not feel complete even to Radha and Krishna. They took on one body. Goranga! Took on one body. So they could give the opportunity to everyone to enter into Krishna playing. Residents of Vrindavan, they took on suitable forms to complete the rasa. When anyone gets something very nice, unless there's so much in the mode of ignorance, they want to share it with their friends. Oh, look what I've got. Please take some. So this is the Sampradaya of Gandhi. I was speaking to some Tattvabadis in Bangalore. They said, no, if somebody is destined to come to devotional service, they come by their samskaras. This is a symbol of mode of ignorance. Lord Chaitanya was not impressed by the Tattvabadis. The level of devotional service is very low and very selfish. We have to look at ourselves. Did we come just by chance to devotional service? Everything is going on in mercy. But if you want to taste that mercy in full, we have to take on this Udaya mood of distribution. Otherwise the heart will become very closed. And yes, we may be able to sit in Shanghai Krishna. We may be able to maintain the regulated principles. But no bliss will come. The bliss depends on the mercy she becomes pleased when people enter into her mood. She's anxious to satisfy Krishna. Because any beautiful girl in the other Vrindavan, which Krishna has not yet enjoyed. And why do I not bring that to her? If there's any wonderful thing to eat that is not enjoyed, she will make that. She's engaging everyone in Krishna's service. Even to the point that sometimes she puts herself in separation. And suffers so much. Beyond our comprehension. Looking, I don't know if you've ever walked on the hot sands by the moon in the middle of summer. Feet burning without any shoes on. Feet burning, I think it's the end of it. But this is nothing in comparison to what Radharani experiences each moment she feels separation from Krishna. But still, she undertakes that position. She could just be with Krishna all the time. Krishna ultimately is only interested in her service. When she is there, doesn't look anywhere else. She not suffers. She wants to give every single entity a chance to serve. Then separation is so painful, and yet there's such a bliss of knowing that I was engaged in sins. Right now he hears of some person crying in Vrindavan, where is Krishna? She immediately arranges to take Krishna there. Whether it's a rival or not. This is how she praises Krishna. That is why she is most dear to Krishna. And how do we know this? We know this because most intimate maidservant of Srimati Radharani, Sri Rupa Manjari, who is present for every moment with Srimati Radharani. He is in this world as Rupa Goswami and has told us the method of devotion. It's a mood of selflessness, of giving up everything for Krishna. When one enters into that mood, then bliss is available. When one takes that bliss, then one enters into the deep, deep ocean. From which there is no return. This bliss is not even found in Vaikuntha. Hardly a drop of it exists in Dwapara. Somehow or other, we come in contact with this opportunity which cannot even be described. The opportunity to enter into that intimate service. Even the matter of praying. For the opportunity to serve. Lakshmi is the form of austerities for the opportunity to serve. Vasudeva is sitting down every day and meditating on Krishna. Souls wandering from body to body in this material world have come in contact with this opportunity to enter into the intimate service. That's why I'm Bhagavan Krishna. Nandala. Understand, because they don't understand the sweetness of Krishna. They're bewildered by the opulences. We have the opportunity to be attracted by the sweetness of Krishna if we can develop this mood of distributing to all living entities when we come in contact. very difficult by following the right path, following regulated principles. Attain privilege. Yes, externally it must be done. But internally we must develop a spontaneous mood. But that devotional ocean, that ocean of bliss, is so powerful that it will not distribute it, it will just dry up in our heart. And the danger is that we will lose taste. What happens when you lose your taste? You don't want to eat anything, you're not interested, you wither up and die. When something is very tasty and becomes more and more tasty with each bite, then you never become stagnant, you never become bored. You never want to give it up. Pure devotional service is that free, only free, which is ever expanding, ever more tasty. Hari Nam Sankirtan Goloka Vaindam. This has come from Goloka, this mood of Sankirtan. We spread the holy names, we spread the teachings. Just to sit down and study the Shastras and then keep it locked up in our heart, not wanting to share with anyone else, it will just become dry. The real meaning of the Shastras will disappear. Bhakti will be gone. So yeah, there are dry professional recitals of the Bhagavatam. You can quote slogans just like the wind. There's no matter. The heart doesn't change. How can somebody's heart change when they come in contact with somebody whose heart hasn't changed? So Prabhupada said, if you only know to chant Hare Krishna, tell others to chant Hare Krishna. You'll be called up by that generosity and the blissful flow coming down from the sampradaya like electricity. So if we're not fully blissful in our devotional service, then we only have ourselves. We have to find out the association of persons who are tasting Krishna prema. And not just find out intellectually, but learn how to serve such persons. By that intimate service you will come in contact with them, and the love which is flowing in their heart will reflect you. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
I have not yet gotten up. That is
me. I haven't answered your question, to tell you the truth.
If I can ask to do some work, or any work for a temple which I am specialized in having, if you ask me to preach my love for 30 years, which is my, I just like, but if you want me to chant 16 rounds, somehow or other I have to complete 16 rounds, I have not that developed that love for chanting which I.
The most important the mind process is chanting. For pure love of Godhead to manifest, the chanting must be developed. If one is not developing the taste of chanting Hare Krishna, then he has to associate with persons who have developed the taste. It should not be ignored. We must try to engage in all different processes. But if we ourselves are not becoming more and more enthusiastic internally, more and more diving into the ocean of devotion, then where will we get our strength to infuse others deeper and deeper? Rounds must become completed. But the whole idea is that by chanting Hare Krishna, we become more and more blissful, so we actually enjoy chanting the Lord's name. And if it is just a daily austerity, that somehow or other I must finish this, because it's my duty, then something is wrong. And we need to look very deeply in our heart to find out what is wrong. And we need to take associations with Vaishnavas who are getting a taste for chanting. Otherwise, we may be engaged in different activities, important activities. But it can all end, as we've seen in our lifetime. Many persons are distributing so many books, many persons are doing so many preaching activities, yet they one day just decided to return to the material nature. This is the process of Kali Yuga, and is that the process for all yogas? It's just that in some yogas people are so clever, so capable to perform so many activities, that they can't develop a simple intelligence to understand how important it is to chant Hare Krishna, so they can't come to that path. So yes, it's important to preach so many things, convince people. But how can you convince people chanting Hare Krishna sincerely if oneself are not getting the full taste of chanting? How can you take from a poor man $1 million? Or how can you give? It's not a prayer process. It's just driving philosophy and give it to others. But we have an essence of this process. It's Harinam. The Harinam is more merciful than Krishna himself. In the storm of his name, he is more merciful. So, the last relation of chanting of Hare Krishna, we have to find out those who are. Don't give up anything, we try to increase. Get the blessings of those who are chanting Hare Krishna. By entering into the chanting Hare Krishna, everything will be removed. Okay. Good. Anyway, this is an English class that we're speaking with. She's asking that how is it possible to perform, more than one service, you won't be able to concentrate. But yes, because everything is one service ultimately. Service to Krishna. And if everything is done in the mood of distribution, which is the mood of our sampradaya, then it's all the same ultimately. Whether we're the pujari, doing so many mantras and this and that, if our mood is to give everyone the opportunity to come in contact with the service of the Lord, distribute prasad of the Lord in shape of flowers and foodstuffs and water of the Lord and stuff, or whether it's preaching in the colleges, or what, it's all distribution, it's all chanting of the holy name. But to understand that, we have to be able to chant for it and get the mood. Every day you're doing so many things simultaneously. You're walking along the street, you're thinking this and that, you're moving your arms, you're smelling things, you're breathing, you're hearing, all simultaneously, seeing different things. All simultaneously. So why, when you come to Krishna service, you want to say, we come to many things simultaneously. Mahajan Rish was engaged in all the nine processes simultaneously. But we have to develop the chanting.
So chant Hare Krishna everywhere.
So chant Hare Krishna everywhere. Then, you see Krishna everywhere. Don't sit back just speculating, I should see this, I should see that. Then you'll never see anything. But simply do it. Krishna has made it very easy. I am like the sun and like the moon. How many examples is given in detail? But these are simply his devotees. Selfish. Sometimes you may find it necessary, but it should not be your constant need. To develop a constant mood of continuously giving is a very high platform. The selfish souls remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Moment by moment. The Sri Vishnu Chakrabarti said that the one who is not capable of doing that, how can suddenly always remember Krishna and never forget? So it starts every day for 1 minute, remember Krishna. And then build up. This is also always remembering Krishna. By being steady. We have to learn how to remember Krishna. And when we're aware of what we're doing is suffering, we have to change that. And simultaneously we have to search out those Vaishnavas for another suffering. It's only by the grace of the Vaishnavas that one can change. Not by our own cleverness, not by our own studying. It's not something which can be understood. It's something which is impregnated into the heart. A common contact with somebody who has a higher grade of devotional service than our own, that will impregnate into our hearts. If we approach submissively and render service. If this mentality or something to or wanting to enjoy the purity of the Lord is maintained, can you explain what is the difference between that person and a sense enjoyer? If both remain in this world, isn't something it Krishna's duty to remove this veil of ignorance? Since Vijaya is serving Krishna, Guru Gurangas, from Thor. There is a huge emotional difference between the sense enjoyer and the devotee who is on a low platform of devotional service. There's no comparison. It's a Krishna duty. Krishna has done his duty over and over again. He's given us Bhagavad Gita and so many other shastras. He's within our heart. But ultimately, he's also given us independence eternally. So no, it's not Krishna's duty, it's our duty. We're servants, and Krishna is the enjoyer. It's not his duty, his duty is to enjoy. And yet still, as the enjoyer, he undertakes so many difficulties to try to bring back the living entity. And the greatest difficulty Krishna undertakes is allowing his dear devotees to leave and come into the material world to preach to the finishing and the shaking of the feels that very separation. And later, he loves birth. Go and reclaim them if you want. After all, they're not interested, they'll let me. So no, it's not Krishna's duty. This is Bhagavad Gita. Constitutional nature of the living entity is as a servant of Krishna. Paramatma is a special extension of the Lord who is only present in the material world. Otherwise, the Lord doesn't really have that nature. Paramatma takes on the role of serving. Goes to him everywhere, fulfills his desires, even though he knows may not be good for him. Just so that somehow or other eventually he will come back. Come back. Otherwise he will simply enjoying. And only when he is wrapped up in the mood of Srimati Bhagavani, in the form of Granda, then he starts drinking. Maybe we should distribute my prayer. Otherwise you can't understand that. In the form of Krishna, you can't understand it. Just enjoying, not bhakti. It is the bhakti. Enjoying on the forest of Vrindavan. Krishna has done everything. And if we want to give him a good opportunity, serve Krishna is still so foolish that we just try to exploit, which is our original condition nature. And what is our condition? We need to wake up to it as soon as possible, because the day may come when we can't wake up. We may lose the association of passions due to our selfishness. Maybe something about Govardhan before we finish. Since Govardhan Pooja is just around the corner. I was just mentally doing the Kirtana this morning. I got as far as Kunshi Pooja. But Krishna was enjoying the Rasa dance. They were enjoying it so much there that the ecstasy was building up and up, that they actually just all melted into each other. They just melted and disappeared. Just became liquid flame. There's two kunds there, Kunshi kund and Apsara kund. They just melted into these waters. And slowly, as the moon changed, all the trees and everything were all crying. Birds were crying. Everyone was stunned. Oh. Come quick. There was a new change as a sad mood descended. The mood of bewilderment. And slowly that mood changed, and slowly became, took on that form again. This is Kunshi. Apsarava, to the forest there. And that forest is the famous cave in Govardhan Hill. The Manikana, for many intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna to go on. Once I was at the entrance of that cave, and it's actually just looking a little way, maybe 10 feet, and then it's dropped out. So one old Babaji lives there, and he was living there in the Srinath Mandir. So I said, oh, you come from this cave. He said, no, what access we have to such transcendental pastimes? He said, when you come to that platform, then you'll be able to enter the nature of the Shivaji. And now it's blocked. And Punshi Kalot also lives in Apsara. This is a friend of Krishna, actually it's a form of one of the forms of Hanuman, Rajadeva. So Punji Kalota, he liked to eat. I'd see him about. And so every day when Krishna would come to Govardhan, he would meet with Punji. And Punji would arrange some nice foodstuffs and go away, sit down with him, enjoy a nice feasting. So then came time of Krishna was leaving Punjab. So Punjab rushed. Krishna was coming on the chariot of Akula. And he rushed to that place where they were coming close to Govardhan. And he said, oh, why, where are you going? Dear brother. He said, no, I'll be back very soon, just wait. He said, oh, I have been waiting for you. So he's still sitting there in the path, in the great no path, waiting for Krishna to come. Waiting for him. And that's some of the stories of Saravan and the forest. So, stop there. Shimabhavatamani. Shimabhavatamani. Just one point. The offering of the lamps is very important in Kapsa, but we shouldn't think that the offering of the lamps is more important than Mangalati. Mangalati is always the most important activity. It's in the Kapsa. So we shouldn't give up the Mangalati for offering the lamp. We should then just schedule in such a way that we still go to Mangalati. Every few months at least thousands of times. And Mangalati is the opportunity of seeing this wonderful son, Srinath Chakravarti, which allows the living entity to enter into birth. That's the benediction of the son. Srila Prabhupada put so much emphasis on the Mangalati. You can read Bhagavatam any time during the day, you can worship Tulsi any time during the day, you can serve the Vaishnavas of deity any time, but you can only have Mangalati. Have Mangalati time. You can't have Mangalati at 8 o'clock or 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Mangalati is that time when the Manjaris, they're looking out. And just for a moment, at that time, they feeling great compassion for the living entities. So we should be awake at that time. We should be chanting the holy name at that time so we attract their attention.